Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the BigMX Radio Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Backyard Design. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line from Backyard Design, yeah, you've seen him in the pages of a few magazines here and there. He's a good friend of mine. Every once in a while, we go for a Mexican dinner. Jared Hicks, welcome to the podcast.
Happy to be here, man. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm stoked to talk to you. You are in the country of my, that's kind of like my homeland. My grandparents came over from Germany back in 1955, and that's where you're standing right now. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we're over here in Deutschland, as they call it, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny that Germany, actually, Germans don't call Germany, Germany. They call it Deutschland.
No. And I've been coming over here for 12 or 13 years now, and I don't really know why that is, but it's cool. I came over, I was actually here 2 weeks ago, or probably about 3 weeks ago for some other stuff. Like, we had some meetings going on and stuff, and like our kind of mid-year going over everything, and then kind of not last minute, but we ended up bringing an RV over, as you guys probably have kind of seen on like social media and stuff. For so basically why I'm back in Germany now is Philip, which is kind of like basically like CEO, kind of runs everything, keeps everything in line. He partnered up with this other like pretty big podcaster in Germany called Benzeme. And so it's Philip with Backyard Benzeme, and then basically like the German AMA, which is called ADAC, like ADAC. Mm-hmm. They all got together and came up with, like, put together the first ever amateur supercross series that they've ever had in Germany, because supercross is really like a far-fetched thing to learn over here. There's not tracks, like,
right.
Even their motocross tracks, they're pretty strict about like the jumps, and you know, they don't allow like doubles or triples or anything, kind of get like a little bit more on the difficult side.
Really?
Of things. And I think, yeah, it's not really like a thing at the practice tracks, and there's no public supercross tracks. I think Kenny Roxon is the only guy that has like his own supercross track that I know of. That people
right.
can get like pay to ride.
How often does he actually get to ride it?
Germany. Yeah, exactly. So they kind of are trying to, as you know, and like everybody else kind of in the industry, a lot of the focus is kind of going towards supercross, because of how you can market it and like, you know, the TV packages and kind of all of that stuff. It's just an easier sport to market and bring to bigger crowds and, you know, bigger cities and stuff like that. So they kind of did this supercross series to introduce supercross to, you know, Germany, open it up to kids maybe, you know, dreaming to learn to ride supercross and want to eventually maybe have the goal of, you know, racing in the US or whatever, or German supercross or whatever. But so that's why we ended up bringing, cause RV actually had to go to Fox Hill this weekend for the Vet Motocross the Nation. So it kind of worked out really well to where we invited him over here, and, cause our print facility is here in Frankfurt, or pretty close to Frankfurt, Germany. And, so we wanted to bring him over, and everybody was super stoked at the series to have somebody of that caliber, you know, like, having Villapoto over here, because they only see him on Instagram or TV, or maybe his short stint in the MXGP if they were lucky enough to go see him there. But you don't really see those guys like we do in California. You know, you go out to the Glen Helen on a Thursday in the summer, you're going to see, you know, 10 of the top guys out there riding, and that's just normal for us, you know?
Yeah.
So making a guy like that accessible, and it was really cool. He was super into it and gave out, you know, the trophies to the 65 kids and 85 kids. And, I think, I can't speak for him, but I think he had a pretty good time over here. And, said he's, you know, pretty excited to kind of see where we go with it in the future. So, which I don't have too much to do with that side of it, like the race side and the series side and all that, but, you know, getting RV and stuff to come over here, that kind of fell into my wheelhouse of the US stuff that I take care of. So, yeah, that's kind of the story while I'm here. And, yeah, just hanging out for one more weekend to go to their, they're having their version of Loretta Lynn this coming weekend. which is called Cross Final. So I'm just sticking around for that and going to head out Monday. So I'm going to go hang out at their Loretta's and, you know, help with, because it's a pretty big event for backyard Germany. So I'm going to go to that. And that's kind of the plan right now before I go back to California on Monday.
There you go. And you'll probably be back in the friendly confines of Paula, Paris, or Glen Helen.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. And you've, like, for those who aren't familiar with you, first of all, shame on you. You do a ton of work, magazine work, man. You are always being featured. I'm actually looking at a cover right now. What month is this? I think it's June of last year, and it's just you in your fly racing gear, backyard design graphics, blasting on a CRF 450. You've kind of like turned, like racing for a living, which you did for a long period of time. I don't know if you ever went over and did the German Supercross series, but you were a career privateer, racing 250 Supercross. I don't know if you ever lined up in the 450 class on Supercross as well.
I did.
You did?
I actually spent more time in 450 because.
Perfect. I'm an idiot.
I did 250 one year and I couldn't afford to really
keep a bike together.
All that, but basically I moved up. Yeah, it was just so much easier on the 450 with the, you know, power and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I wouldn't call it a career, but most of my racing stint was done on a 450 just basically because of the money was, you know, I didn't spend as much.
Yeah. So, and that's not totally uncommon either.
I was mostly a 450 guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
There's lots of guys who have almost kind of prematurely moved to the 450 for budget reasons, but that more for than anything else. I will commend you on racing a 450 and two Supercross then, because I know that's a completely different ball of wax than riding a 250 in Supercross. From what I've been told by, especially from some privateers, is that the 450 is an entirely different kind of animal. But what I was trying to say there is that, like, you've been around the sport for a long period of time, and then after your, like, you don't call it a career, I certainly do, because, you came a whole lot closer to a Supercross main event than I ever did. You've parlayed that into testing and articles and working with companies like not only Backyard Design but Dirt Rider. Is it Dirt Bike Magazine? Yes, Dirt Bike Magazine.
Dirt Bike Magazine. Yeah,
Dirt Bike Magazine. You're in there every single week. It's funny because I don't know if you did a lot of off-road riding prior to working with those guys, but like you're not shy about like spinning laps at Glen Helen or Paula, or happen to be drug into the get Tilly to drag you into the woods somewhere, and do some wood riding. The jersey's untucked no matter where you go, but, either way, always a lot of fun to watch you do what you do, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate that. I can kind of give you, a short version of kind of how all that came about.
Of course.
All this kind of ties into backyard in a weird way, but it works.
Well, it's been a big piece of your history, me, so you know? I would hope that it does.
It has. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, I kind of have to include as well that kind of helps me along the way. But how it kind of started was me and I'm sure a lot of people, I know you're familiar with Travis Stant, who worked for High Torque for forever. And
then
kind
of
now he's doing his own stuff. Yeah, so Fant is one of my best friends that we've known each other since. I think I met him the first time when I was 14. He's a couple years older than me. Mm-hmm. At a track called Atmore, Alabama, because his parents moved to Pensacola, Florida, which is only about an hour where I'm from, and we would go to the same tracks and stuff like that. And his parents retired out there, so I met Travis, you know, when we were younger. At the local tracks and stuff. Fast forward to 2011. Yeah, 2011. We stayed in touch, and he had moved back to California to, you know, he got his degree in filming and all that stuff, and, you know, was getting ready to try to find a job and stuff. And he ended up landing a job with High Torque, which is Dirt Bike Magazine, Motocross Action. There was a couple more at the time included with that. And then I ended up, you know, basically couch surfing at Fan's house, for West Coast Supercross. And I kind of just stuck around, man. Like, after Supercross was over, we actually traveled to a couple of the East Coast rounds together and stuff. But where I'm kind of going with that is Fant got the job with High Torque. Well, I was a decent rider, you know, as far as on the test rider side of things. You know, I was definitely good enough to kind of like do that stuff and could take decent photos and stuff. So I kind of, Fant kind of brought me in that whole situation, just because we were friends. And they always, like, it's hard to find, you know, seven or however many bikes there are for shootouts. They need seven or eight guys, you know, that can take off work on a Thursday or a Wednesday or like whatever to do these shootouts and stuff. And that's kind of where it started.
Exactly.
Was I was kind of started as a shootout guy. And, cause I didn't have anything going on at the time. I'm just trying to race Supercross and all that. And so that's kind of how I got into the magazine, just slowly just, and everybody always asks me this question. I get asked probably this the most of anything, but you know, it's always like, dude, I want to be a test rider. Like how do I do that? And I try to explain it's not like you just sign up and get in it. It's so many things that come with it. It's timing, it's luck, it's the people that you know, it all kind of like works together and trying to, and you have to pay, you know, your dues and do some stuff that you might not want to do, or, you know, get up and go do 4 a.m. photo shoots or drive a bike to, you know, Honda 5:30 in the afternoon and deal with traffic or whatever it needs to try to.
You're going to have to jump through some hoops. You might have to know somebody. There's a number of different ways that it has to shake out. In fact, there's probably a number of things that need, like, it's never one thing. It has to be your availability. You have to be able to ride. You have to know the right person and have a good relationship with that person, that they're going to be like, hey, come on out and do this thing.
Yeah, and be able to give good feedback as well, because like there's a lot of guys that can ride good but don't know shit about testing. And when it's something that you have to learn, and it's something that I, you know, when I'm testing with other guys that have been like Tilly, or, you know, Pete Murray's been doing it forever, or, you know, a guy that really helps me a lot is Gary Jones. Like I'm always asking him questions and he's kind of helping me, but I'm always trying to, the big part of that is just really being able to test and giving them feedback that's not like bogus, or like if you give them feedback and it's completely different than the other six or seven guys, like they're going to assume you don't really know kind of what you're talking about if it contradicts what everybody else is saying. So you have to know how to be a good tester, but it's really, at the end of the day, it's something that just kind of organically happens. And I was lucky enough to kind of be brought into that. And I've been doing stuff for Dirt Bike for 13 years now, but a lot of that relationship with Dirt Bike and with Fant and all of that helped me when we started Backyard. Philip actually started it before I did. Like he started it, and was kind of, I'd say probably about 6 months to a year, had already been doing it before we started the USA part of it. And he came to me and was like, basically, hey, I'm doing graphics. Cause at this point we were struggling to like pay to go race Supercross, cause he did it as well.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of how we met, is we were both privateers and
they, I was actually his goggle guy in 2017.
So it's like, he's been racing Supercross. We were always pretty close in like speed and qualifying results. He was really good at the fast laps. Like he was better than me at that, but for the qualifying stuff, but we were pretty close, you know, similar. We were good people to ride together and base, you know, speed off of each other and stuff. But, so we met and he was like, hey, I think it would be cool to bring Backyard to the US. And I really didn't have anything going on at the time. So I was like, yeah, dude, that would be sick. Like, let's do it. And, basically came over here to Germany and stayed for 6 months in the summer. And he kind of went through everything and taught me basically everything that he had learned in the last year. And came back to California, took whatever, cause I flunked out of college twice, like 2 semesters of college. So I didn't spend any more money there. and basically took whatever money I had left for college and bought, you know, a printer and then all like the basic stuff that I needed to kind of get started, and set it up in my living room in Riverside, California. And that's where Backyard USA started from that.
Dude, that's badass.
And it basically, we had started it, you know, we wanted to pay for our racing stuff. Cause the first night show I ever qualified for was St. Louis 2010. And I was so pumped. I remember I was like, yeah, I finally like made the night show, you know, whatever. I'm going to get money from AMA or whatever, dude. I get my first check and it's $230. Like, I'm not kidding you. $230.
Less than the entry.
$200 to enter.
Yeah.
The entry at the time was $200. So now you're at $30, and then you take the mechanics pass was $50. So now I'm in the whole $20 plus, like, you know, gas itself. So I'm like, from the first time I ever made a 250 night show, I'm like, all right, well, this isn't going to work, you know? So then we moved up to 450, and that's a whole different animal. Like, the track is so much gnarlier, and just everything about the 450 class is just way gnarlier than I thought it would be. So, you know, not really making mains and stuff. I would make some night shows, and it was $965 when you would make a 450 night show, which was okay. But yeah, Still at the time, you know, I'm like, okay, I got to figure something out, because racing definitely ain't going to, you know, pay my bills and all that stuff. So I was kind of working on, you know, building up Backyard, and I was using kind of that for my stuff, and he was using his side of stuff for his racing stuff. And I quit racing in 2017. That's kind of when I was like, yeah, I don't want to do Supercross anymore, and really wanted to take the brand like more serious and stuff. But where I think I kind of got off subject from the magazine stuff, but the magazine stuff, when I started doing all of this, I had guys like that who are already like, you know, they have a lot of credibility because they're media. And so I had guys like that using my stuff, like, on Project Bikes, or, you know, posting about us on Instagram and stuff before, like, we were even a super legit business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was lucky enough to have those guys willing to kind of help us out with, you know, and it gave us more credibility than it would have been me just doing it out of my house, not having any of these guys like running my stuff. So having Travis, you know, using it and the magazine, and finally got like Sean Lipinovich, which is a long time friend of mine, using my stuff. And but I really, it worked out really well for me to use the relationships that I had built from all of the time that I had spent in California. It finally kind of came around full circle and helped me when, you know, we started doing Backyard stuff.
Yeah, no, so, like, and I think it's sort of how I can sort of chime in on how I discovered Backyard is actually through Travis. Is like my journey throughout motocross, like my journalism and getting press credentials and stuff like that. You meet media guys. Some guys are standoffish. Some guys are the warmest, most welcoming people in the world. I think of a guy like Brown Dog Wilson, who will literally talk to anybody, or at least he talks to me. And Travis was always one of those people. He's always just cool with me, and I always appreciated that. And like, obviously he's a filmer, he's a videographer, photographer who can really capture a moment. Mm-hmm. And I've always like really liked the way he goes about his social media. He's very organic. He just kind of, he tells his story.
Very raw. Yeah. Yeah.
He just sort of, he just lays it out there. This is what I'm all about. He allows people to sort of like, he brings people in and like, hey, I'm going to Florida. Let's do the Florida trip. If we're going out to Glen Helen, let's go out to Glen Helen. But the bikes always looked absolutely crisp, and he always had Backyard design.
Yeah.
And I started asking him like, where, like, what's this brand all about? And I'm like, well, like, who designed that kit? And he's like, I did. I'm like, what do you mean you did? Like, I didn't know you were a graphic designer. He's like, you don't have to be. You can go on Backyard Design.
Yeah.
And literally, you pick out one of the there's literally, I while we've been talking, I'm looking at the website right now, looking at KTM designs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got well over 50 different, like, starting points But that's just the starting point. Like, you can basically take any one of those preset designs and then take the ball and run with it. And that's what allows, the cat was out of the bag. I no longer think that Travis is a good designer. I think that he just uses, backyard design. He's just a liar. And he's fooled everyone in thinking that he's got, good eye for design. And in reality, he's just pulling the wool over everyone's eyes with backyard design.
There's a couple guys now that have configurators and stuff like that. There's, I think, maybe like three or four other companies now. But the reason that we kind of went about that way would be, so the typical way you design graphics, and it's a pain in the ass, and we did it this way before the platform that we have now. But the whole graphic design process is just the problem with the way that we used to do it, and that majority of guys are still doing it, is the interaction that you have to have with the customer to get the job, like, where they want it. Was like, I mean, you could have do back and forth proofs with somebody for 2 or 3 weeks, like, before they make a decision. Or, you know, it's hard for them to visualize. It's hard for somebody to visualize what they want and like put that into words to somebody that's designing, especially if it's a complete stranger.
Exactly.
You don't know what kind of like stuff that they like. And so you figure you take, with the amount of kits that we're shipping out now, I mean, we would have to have 20 people designing proofs and sending it back and forth, like, you know, email back and forth. Like, and that just takes so long. And sometimes people, you know, they might not get back to you for a month because their transmission goes out in their car, or like, you know, whatever shit happens, right? Like, that's how life is. And
yeah, or they just forget about it, like other problems. So they're like, and you're like, oh, I spent all this time designing this kit that never got sold. Sweet.
Exactly. Or you might not get paid for it until, you know, 2 months later they hit you up. Oh, hey, by the way, like, I want to get that kit now. And it's like, so that's an ongoing problem with, like, how, like I said, it's a pain in the ass. And so we had the idea of, you know, doing a configurator. And we weren't the first people that came up with the idea. There was one other company that had a configurator, but it was really, like, hard to use. Like, it was very advanced for somebody that wouldn't know anything about graphic design or has never used Adobe Illustrator or anything like that. It was pretty confusing. So we kind of had the idea to make this, you know, simplified version of that, but that way people can design their own stuff in real time, like sit there on their own time and do it. If they want to spend, you know, an hour designing it, or if they want to spend a week designing it, like, it's on them how they want to do it. Not waiting back and forth for proofs from us. Like, if we're backed up, you know, especially around like Black Friday, Christmas time, like, we get really, really busy. So it just allows people to, like, an easier way for them to get what they want, because they're seeing, like, they're doing it themselves and they know what they like. So that's why, you know, we have so many kits to kind of start out that you can customize from, like, that base design. Is there's so many different things that I can guarantee you there's going to be something on there, if not multiple things. They're going to catch the person's eye and they're like, oh yeah, I like that. I'm going to mess with this. Or, you know, it would look cool to change these colors, or, you know, add my logos on it, whatever. And yeah, that was kind of, that was the vision of it. And it's working, like, really well, so far. And there's actually been other companies that have, kind of went the same route. And I think at some point it's to grow in this kind of like niche part of the industry. I think eventually everybody's going to have some sort of configurator, I think, just to you know, make work more efficient. And like, if they want to grow without having to hire more designers, you know, that's the way you have to do it. And it's expensive to build a website like that, but it's expensive also to hire, like I said, 10 other employees. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the manpower needed to accommodate that kind of growth is just as expensive as developing a website like backyarddesignusa.com. And yeah, like you can go on there right now. And like I said, no matter what brand you're on, there are dozens of sort of preset like starting points. And then from there, literally like the world is your oyster. You don't like that color, you change it. You don't like that logo, you resize it. And it's not, and like on top of the fact that you guys have like well over, it's got to be like, is it over 1,000 logos? Got to be hundreds of logos.
It's, I honestly couldn't even tell you. I mean, we have pretty much every mainstream. I mean, there's certain companies are more strict about the license than others, but for the most part, like, yeah, we have pretty much any mainstream moto logo plus some that you might not expect that we'd have, but
I didn't think than, fake, you know, taxi like was going to be on there. I'll be honest about that one.
It's we have that, we have all kinds of stuff, and it's there's only a few companies that are really a pain in the ass about the logo, like you know, but we just don't mess with them. Like
I think everyone knows logo, which ones those are, and that like it's just, and that's the way it goes.
I don't want to call anybody out, but
of course,
which is fine, like totally understandable. So we respect that. And, but yeah, I mean, just kind of how we have it set up now and works really good for us. And, we're actually working on a newer, better, like faster version of the website now that's going to be completely different. It's going to be nothing like, nothing that has been put out yet as far as dirt bike graphic, like designing and all that stuff. So that's going to be online towards the end of this year, but it's going to be, you know, way better than the one that we have now. So we're pretty excited about that. Kind of taking it to that next level. And I think with that, we're going to set the bar pretty high for, you know, custom dirt bike graphics and how you order them. And we've been working on it for the past year and, super excited for that to come out, you know.
No, absolutely. So I've designed graphics on my phone. I've designed it on my laptop. I've designed them on my my desktop. And yeah, I can upload all of my own logos. It's super, super simple. I think you guys do have a small charge for everyone after the first original one, but you can really go to town on that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for me, like, and I've literally had, like, graphics essentially the sort of die on the vine when I go back and forth with somebody, whether it's a local company or another one from the States, where, like, you're going back and forth with a designer. They keep making changes that you're like, no, you're not reading my mind the way I need you to. They get busy, you get busy, and it just... or when you finally get it, you're like, oh, they didn't change that one thing that I said I needed changed, or, that font's wrong, but whatever, I'll run it. With this, you are completely in control. Like, you like the BYD logo, leave it on there. You don't run FMF exhaust, you happen to run with, Pro Circuit. Not only do you guys have all the Pro Circuit logos, you even have the retro ones in different colors. Like, oh, I want all white logos. Yeah, we have that. Honestly, it is so much fun to just play around. If you're like me who, showing up to the track with the bike looking correct is kind of your thing. Then yeah, Backyard Design is kind of like, it's just an absolute no brainer. And then you're telling me that the website is getting better than it is right now. I'm already hooked, obviously. Yeah. Like you guys are a sponsor of the Big MX Radio podcast, so, like, obviously, like, there's some people who are like, oh, like, he's just talking up Backyard because, like, you guys are a paid advertiser, but I mean it.
Yeah.
Like, you guys absolutely crush the game when it comes to graphics, and I'm looking at the shipment right now. This is coming out of just outside of Frankfurt, Germany, and if I ordered it today, it'd be here by August 30th, which is... pretty good turnaround time when it comes to, like having something come from the other side of the world.
Yeah. And then too, like, and I mean, if you say, August 30th, that is a little bit of time away, but you're not factoring in, like, you know, your design and proofing process if you were to go the other route.
That's right.
That back and forth. I mean, that takes that takes a lot of time. You know what I mean? Like, so that's, people don't factor that in when they're just like, oh, you know, it's going to take this long. It's like, yeah, but how long is that going to take? Like, how many kits does that designer have on his plate for this week? Or, you know what I mean? Or if Loretta's is coming up, how many team kits does he have to do? Or, whatever that company might be helping out, a Supercross privateer team or whatever it is. But it's never like, because I've done it that way and we've done it that way as a company. And it's really hard to, like, you know, juggle things and kind of do it that way, because people don't get back to you right away. People have things come up and you're kind of doing stuff on their time. And again, like, why we came up with the platform that we did was so you can do it on your time and we can kind of just, you know, go about business as usual until you're ready, you know, to order what you have. And a lot of people too, I think, have like a misconception a little bit that you just have to do it yourself. You're on your own, like, you know, no help. And that's not really the case, because we want people to try it, because this is a new thing, like a new way of doing it. People that have done it the other way, you know, like vet guys or, you know, older guys, they're not super pumped on the way to do it now. So they just want to be able to call and, like, you know, order something or whatever. But it's moving into that direction as, you know, our generation, because me and you are about the same age, like, as our generation grows, like, when we're the old vet guys racing 50 plus or whatever, we're used to doing it that way. And then who knows what will be coming, you know, next after that. Stuff's always evolving with the generations, and moto's the same way. With, you've got to kind of get on board with, you know, what works for the kids, because those kids all grow up to be, you know, they're growing up with phones and iPads and laptops and doing everything online. And that's just the way things are going. And I think the old way will eventually be not as desirable as now, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. And you guys are ahead of that curve. And the funny thing, like you guys do some really cool stuff. Like, obviously you work with Ryan Villopoto. It doesn't get much cooler than that. And then, sorry.
No, I'm saying, yeah, like, just working with RV and Carson Brown, and you know, we've worked with Hanson in the past, and even now working with Swap Moto, and we've always worked with dirt bikes for a really long time, and just all these guys that run our stuff, to me, is still, like, really cool. Even though I see Ryan quite a bit and see these guys all the time, like, I never really, like, I still appreciate it. Even though I know these guys as friends now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's still really cool to me, coming from a kid from Mobile, Alabama, which nobody really even knows where that is. A lot of people don't. And to be in the motorcycle
industry.
Probably
more football players coming out of there than motocross racers, I'd guess.
Yeah, football players, like, you know, people fish, people like there's no motocross stuff really anywhere until you get kind of down to, like, Central Florida and, you know, stuff like that. So to be able to be in the industry coming from where I'm from is, I'm really appreciative of that and like grateful for it. So, to work with all these guys still, to me, like, it never really gets old, or, you know, the stoke level never really wears out for me to be able to work with these people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And just to work with a guy like Carson Brown, who's so creative on and off the bike. Yeah. And I'm sure he actually puts you guys through your paces a little bit as far as asking for some graphics, because I saw, a 2001 426 in his stable of ridiculous motorcycles. You guys do graphics for him no matter what it is, whether it's a mid-2000s KTM Super Mini or a Thumper, as we called them, and you're old enough as same as I am as to have called them Thumpers at some point, the 426. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the cool things that I was going to mention about working with you guys is that, like, I did a graphic kit for my buddy Andrew Hobson, who works at KTM, but he also happens to have a 1991 CR500. Now, like, you guys don't have the template just, like, sitting there on the website, but all I had to do was, I originally designed a graphic kit onto a CR250. Like, basically, they just kind of, like, mocked it up. And then in the comments, before I asked for a proof, I'd said, this needs to fit a CR500 from 1991. And I didn't even, like, the proof I got back wasn't even on a 252 stroke. They like, took my design, they moved things around, and sent me back a proof within 24 hours of exactly what I was looking for on a CR500. I was impressed with that. Like, that, like, the fact that you guys are able to pull off stuff like that is pretty impressive, and the fact that, like, having those templates is not easy to come by, and that sort of, like, speaks to the versatility and just all the type of things that you guys are able to come up with.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I was getting at with I got sidetracked a little bit there, but a lot of people, I think that they have to, like, kind of do it themselves and they're on their own, but your average person can do that as well. Like, if they need help or, you know, whatever, Eddie's our customer service guy. We couldn't probably ask for a better guy doing what he does. Like, everybody loves him, and he really helps everybody and takes the time to listen to things they want to talk. If they want to tell him about, you know, their race, the past, or whatever it may be, like, he gives people the same amount of time, and, you know, no matter what it is. And you can hit up, you know, customer service if you need help, or just, you can even have no idea how to even start, and we have people there to help you if you need it on a bike that we don't have. You can go that route how you did. So there's ways that to get in touch with us to help you get what you need. Just that configurator kind of beginning part of where you design all your stuff, at least that gets you, you know, a lot of the percentage of the way there of what you're trying to accomplish, versus, like, just kind of, you know, saying it on the email or on the phone, or maybe sending some photos like, hey, this is what I want. And then it's kind of a shot in the dark if it's going to be even close to what the guy wants. You know what I mean? And so anybody can do that same, you know, if they need help or need something kind of one-off or weird or something that we don't offer, 9 out of 10 times we offer it. It's just, you might have to go the old school way on something like that and send a couple emails, but people that aren't using our website are probably doing it that way anyway. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. So, like, there's a ton of different ways to apply, the technology. And then on top of that, you're telling, like, actually you gave me a little bit of a peek behind the curtain when I saw you in January of what the new website may look like. It's basically taking, almost like a video game approach to it, being able to get that 360 view, of a motorcycle, which is super, super neat. I know you guys have deals on all the time. They can save 25% just by going to the website and putting in what discount code?
I think it's BigMX24.
BigMX24 saves you 24% off every single one of your orders. Yes. You can use that as often as you'd like, basically 25% of your purchase price, which I believe that goes on anything that's in the cart. So if you happen to also throw some plastics in there, you're going to get your bike looking brand new for 25% less than you thought you were going to have to pay. So that's I'm pretty stoked on that. Jared, I know you've got a meeting to do, to get to. You're, a full 7 hours ahead of me, but there's no rest for the wicked over at Backyard Design. What are some closing remarks you have for people who, haven't tried Backyard? They're thinking about maybe trying it. The bike that they're looking at right now, it needs a seat cover. It needs some graphics. Maybe it needs plastics on top of that. Speak to the public a little bit and, tell them why they should try Backyard Designs. Why not?
Yeah, man. I encourage you to, if you're in the market for, you know, new graphics or whatever, you can even check out the Instagram or, like, all of that stuff. And we have a lot of cool stuff going on. We're very forward thinking and, always trying to do new stuff and support, give back to the sport, you know, like, with that kind of stuff. And, so if you can go on there and, like, see if you like something, check it out. Like, it's really cool. Once it can be, it's just a whole different experience, whether you buy something, whether you don't. We're always doing some cool sales or cool giveaways or, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday is a really big one for us. And we're planning on doing some sort of dirt bike giveaway here before the end of the year. If you basically just buy graphics or, you know, we're going to do something like that. So there's always something cool going on most of the time, just for us to kind of give back, you know what I mean? So I encourage you to try it if you're in the market, see if it can be fun. Just kind of check it out. And if you need help, don't hesitate to reach out. We have a live chat that, you know, Eddie answers. Our phone lines are open. It's like 9 to 5 Pacific time. If you need to give us a call, Eddie can kind of walk you through stuff. Or, you know, just if you have any kind of questions or like that, we're happy to help with those. And so we just want to make it, at the end of the day, easier to order graphics. And we want everybody that orders from us, we want them to feel like they're part of the brand. They know the brand. Like, you know, we want to produce corporate results, but you know, with that kind of like, we don't want the corporate feel to the customers, if that makes sense.
100%. So do you want to give somebody that experience right here and now?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. So, this podcast will come out, August 22nd, Thursday, August 22nd. The first person to share this podcast to their social media, tag BigMX Radio, tag Backyard Design, as well. We're going to do one free kit for, one special listener of BigMX Radio. Does that sound good?
Let's do it, man. Let's hook somebody up.
All right. We're going to hook somebody up. Jared, thank you so much for making time for this. This is so much fun. I'm looking forward to going on the website and designing my new kit. I know every time that you hit the track, you're looking fresh. Thanks for making time for BigMX Radio.
No worries, Brad. You take care, man. I'll see you soon.
All right, man. Don't hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get it.
Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheels.